Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Ooning. Are you all right? I hope you are. I genuinely hope you are. Oh, what, me? Yeah, no, I'm fine. All right. 7-7, though. Remembering that day. Nothing about that in the headlines or on the papers. Don't worry, I'll talk about it. It's just 8:06 in the a.m. British summer time on Tuesday, the 7th of July in the year of our Lord, 2026. Well, you guys, you know who you are. The very best among us. The glorious band, the chosen few, my band of brothers and sisters. Basically the best people on earth. Getting up early. Well, if you're in the UK, getting up early. Tuning into the Bow Show, getting involved in the chat, maybe even doing a Rumble Rant or a YouTube Super Chat. We will have a poll at some point. I don't think it's up yet, but we will have one. And press like. Do the like button. Smash the like button. Make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Get the bell on even. But definitely hit the like button. Definitely do that. That genuinely helps us out. The algo really, really likes that. So if you don't mind, if you're not here hate watching this, I know some do, then do hit the like button. Would really appreciate it. As always, I'm joined by my producer, Little Harry. How are you this morning, good sir?
Morning, yeah, I'm all good.
Disembodied voice of the producer there. All right, so what's all this faffing about for that? Why are we fannying about? Why don't we just get on with it? There's no need for all that faffing, is there? What's the legacy corporate mainstream media talking about today? What's that cabal of evil Fleet Street editors trying to tell you is or isn't important? Okay, it's another football day on the front pages anyway. And I know the glorious band, the chosen few, don't care particularly about that. So we'll whip through all that relatively quickly and talk about other stories that are in the news cycle this morning. But it's a bit of a football day. Well, there is one story around the football, which isn't actually about the football itself. It's to do with Donald Trump. And so that is like most of the front pages today. We'll talk about it. And if you remember, where the England game had taken place in the wee hours of Monday morning, it was too late to go to print for the front pages on Monday, yesterday. So they're actually talking about it again today on the front pages. But don't worry, I'll whip through it all because I know that you guys don't particularly care about football. All right, here we go then. World Cup storm. This is to do with Trump. Trump's involved in the World Cup. He's got involved in it. And King puts foot down. That's to do with Harry, a story to do with Harry. I know we also don't care particularly about the Royals, but going to talk about it a little bit today because there's a story more than just the King being annoyed with Harry about whether he's going to stay at Buckingham Palace or not. There's another story about the Mail group, about the Mail and ongoing trials to do with that. I think that is of mild interest, so we'll talk about that a bit. Okay, World Cup's on the Mirror. Okay, look, so they're still talking about the England thing because they didn't get to the day before and they've got to sell papers, haven't they? Happy as Harry. There's a turn of phrase in there, happy as Larry, which isn't much used anymore. You never hear Zoomers say that. Harry, have you ever even heard of the idiom happy as Larry?
Like a couple of times, but...
Oh, you have? Oh, you have heard that one. Okay, maybe it's in more common usage than I thought. But okay, that's a pun on that. Happy as Harry. All right, so here we go. Here's a story with Trump and football. In the USA's last game, one of their players, their striker, I believe, I think it's that dude, he got a red card. He got a straight red card for some sort of dirty foul. Ooh, it does look bad, doesn't it? I haven't even seen the foul. I've watched very little football in this World Cup, very little. But, oh, look, that looks bad. You could break someone's ankle doing that. And he got a straight red card. Okay, so that happened. But then apparently Trump, personally, went to, like, the president of FIFA, the governing body of world football, FIFA, this dude. Smart haircut, by the way. And said, and apparently said something along the lines of, you should review that red card. And then FIFA just did and rescinded it. Or not rescinded it, just suspended it. The guy would have a one-game... Their striker, USA striker, would have had a one-game ban. And they rescinded it. Okay, so foul. Trump, I did call FIFA chief over USA star's red card ban. Football chief, chiefs in outrage as goal ace told he can play. Goal ace. Why'd they write like that? Anyway, okay, so everyone in the world of football, not everyone, a lot of people in the world of football said, this isn't right, and it isn't really, is it? So like UEFA, FIFA is the world governing body. UEFA is like the European governing body. Head of UEFA and ex-heads of UEFA came out and said, this isn't right, this is political interference. Like the FA, the English football governing body, they came out and said, loads of different people said, the England manager, loads and loads and loads of different people, nearly everyone was unanimous in, this isn't right, like Trump shouldn't put pressure on. And to be honest, I would say, don't worry, only a few more minutes of this. It's in all the front pages, by the way, so I'm not just giving this needlessly. Look, there you go, Trump. Okay, maybe not all the front pages. Anyway, I would say it's not unheard of for a red card to get overturned, but it is very rare. It is very, very rare. Also, particularly for FIFA. Like, I've heard the FA do it. Again, it's rare, but it does happen. But that's if later footage reveals that it really was a miscarriage of justice. The ref just totally got it wrong. Doesn't seem to have got it wrong in the first place. Secondly, FIFA hardly ever overturn a red card. But so Trump just admitted, he just said, yeah, I spoke to the FIFA chief and asked him to look into it. Then the FIFA chief said, oh, I didn't. At that point, it goes to a committee. It's not me. I didn't personally do it. It goes to a committee, which is true. But they're obviously felt they're under political pressure. But in the scheme of things, I don't think it's that big of a deal. It's obviously something a bit dodgy and wrong, but it's not. And anyway, USA had their knockout game in the final 16 against Belgium last night and lost 4-1 anyway. It's all a bit academic, isn't it? They got smashed 4-1 by Belgium. Tiny Belgium. Tiny, arguably not even a proper nation, Belgium. Belgium is, of course, a proper nation. That's just what people say, don't they? Detractors. Even Nigel Farage and a number of other people said. Or there's someone, one of the Gross Band, The Chosen Few, who says he's a Dutchman whose handle is at, so I can't remember exactly what it is, but it's something like at all Belgians are evil or something. Anyway, Belgium isn't a big populous country. And they smashed the USA 4-1. All right. Let's just move on then. The Star, yeah, they go with the same thing. Look, you're off, Don. Don's showing the red card. Okay. Red card's prez after he gets US star's red card suspended. Okay. I've played my Trump card. Look, they've put a little speech bubble. Donald Trump saying, I've played my Trump card. Very funny wordplay. And there's a referee showing the Donald the red card. And this referee, this generic referee, saying, it's not soccer ball, mate. Meddling sparks World Cup fiasco. I mean, the Star is really super sloppy, isn't it? But people, whoever signed off on this front page? Like the mind of a 12-year-old or something, haven't they? Okay, the eye paper. Not even the eye paper. Global outcry as Trump forces FIFA to change Football World Cup rules to help the US. I won't bother reading the blurb. I've told you everything you need to know about it. The Guardian. Oh, I did make a slight mistake yesterday, didn't I? There was one of our players. I can't remember who it was even. One of them, after the game, do you remember, he jumped over a hoarding and he fell over and he got what they called a freak injury. And I said he broke his leg, or I thought he might have broken his leg. No, he broke his arm. He jumped over and stumbled and fell down and snapped his arm. So, again, for the record, if I get things wrong, I'll try and correct them if it's of any importance whatsoever. Again, I said, I've got a few things wrong, haven't I, on the Bo Show? One or two things wrong. So As I say, I'll never deliberately do that. It would always be in good faith if I say something that's factually incorrect. There you go. Do you remember when I got Eamon Holmes and that other guy mixed up, the actual BBC paedophile guy, on a day when Eamon Holmes was suffering from a heart attack? I got their names mixed up. That was bad. That was probably the worst clanger, wasn't it? If you remember that. Hugh Edwards. I got Hugh Edwards and Eamon Holmes mixed up and started saying Eamon Holmes was like a disgraced sex criminal and stuff. Sorry, Eamon. I did make a point of rescinding that and even going on Twitter and saying, yeah, no, sorry. Yeah, completely my mistake. Brain freeze. I don't know what to say. Poor old Eamon. I hope he's recovering. I haven't heard anything that he's like in worse trouble with health wise. So get well soon, Eamon. All right, the Daily Mail. Daily Mail, they're in a spot of bother with Harry. It's funny that they decide to go with the inside story about Harry's chaos over his visit. Just let you know then, a little bit of royal news. Two things to do with Harry. One, he's over here from the United States. He now lives in the United States, doesn't he, with that frightful woman, Meghan Markle. They were supposed to both come over, but she hasn't come over. I guess maybe she's just too divisive. I don't know any of the details. I don't care about any of the extra details of that. Apparently, he was set to stay in Buckingham Palace, a place where he would have grown up and spent large chunks of his life. Apparently, he flip-flopped one way or the other. I will, I won't stay. Can I, can't I stay in Buckingham Palace? And in the end, the king, who would have the final say on it, his father, Sausage Fingers, Chuck Saxe-Coburg-Gotha, just said, forget about it. You can't stay at Buckingham Palace. It was only going to be one night anyway, I think. So you just can't. You'll have to find somewhere else to stay that night. A little bit of a slap in the face, isn't it? But he is out of the... He is out, isn't he? Not formally out of the royal family, like his uncle, Andrew. But he's just out of favour, isn't he? Certainly completely out of favour. Both with Charles and his brother, the heir, the Prince of Wales, Wills. Bend it like Trump. Fury over red card, foul play. Okay. Don't need to say any more about it. The other thing, though, about Harry, which is actually a bit more of a real story, is that he's going through, and it should come to a head today, I think it is today, a long legal battle with the Mail Group. In fact, somewhere, there's a story all about it. I should have had that ready to rock and roll. I'm afraid I didn't. I can just tell you about it. Oh, there it is. Sorry, here it is. Ruling expected in Prince Harry's legal battle against Associated Newspaper, who are the publishers of the Mail. And so it's been going on for ages, and I think the ruling is supposed to be today. And it's him and a number of other people, really high-profile people, like Baroness Doreen Lawrence, Stephen Lawrence's mum, who they made appear, as well as, David Furnish, who is Elton John's gay husband, Liz Hurley, Sadie Frost, the MP Sir Simon Hughes. They're all taking, in one like class action type thing, taking Associated Newspapers, the Mail, taking them to court over some pretty bad allegations. Things like they tapped their phone. Unlawful news gathering techniques, including phone hacking and bugging. They all claim that various journalists for the Mail, hacked them, basically. And other classic tabloid things, like kind of harassing them in various ways. Of course, the Mail, or Associated Newspapers, claim no wrongdoing whatsoever, saying some of it is just completely made up. Wouldn't put it apart. Wait for the ruling to see what the court decides, but the newspapers, I wouldn't put it past them. Of course, I wouldn't put it past them. They are scumbags. They are scum. The editor of the Mail said, the suggestion that we ran the campaign to generate exclusive headlines, sell newspapers and profit is sickeningly displaced and bleakly cynical. Is it? Is it? I don't think it is, mate. bleakly cynical that the male might dare do something a bit underhanded or off colour. Yeah, right. We don't do things just to sell newspapers. Come on now. Another thing they said, oh, well, all these allegations are longer than like 6 years ago, and like there's a statute of limitations anyway, so. The last little bit I thought was interesting. Yeah, it says, there are new codes of practice, and even more importantly, new digital platforms have transformed news landscape. Yeah, the tabloid newspapers, along with the rest of the establishment media, the disgusting, shill, globalist, anti-white, anti-Western, anti-British cabal of establishment media, are not as powerful as once they were. Sales have fallen, newsrooms thinned out. Yeah, because they're a pack of liars, largely, aren't they? A pack of scumbag liars, lying by omission, if nothing else. Hey, senior editor of the Mail, yeah? Don't talk about Ehud Barak and the fifth Baron Rothschild today, like every day, yeah? Be a good boy and don't print any of that, yeah? Good. Click. Oh, the Mail's newsroom has been thinned out. Yeah, they're filth. Okay. We move on. Look, on the front page of their paper, they don't talk about that. They talk about Harry doesn't get to stay at Buckingham Palace for a night. Okay. All right, what have we got here? The Telegraph. The Daily Telegraph. King puts foot down to block Harry stay. He loses patience with, quote, dithering son overnight at palace on day of key court hearing. All right. Yep, we got that. Britain to lead European drive to build long-range NATO missiles. That's quite interesting. I wonder if that will actually materialise, if that will actually happen. Who knows? There was a story on the BBC along those lines. We'll talk about Zelensky in a moment. Yeah, there was something about how... Yeah, the British military says they want to... I can't find it. They want to become the leader in sort of more modern missile technology. Okay. Here was a very interesting story I saw late last night, and I thought this is interesting. Ahmadinejad comes back from the dead. How about that? It'll turn up for the books, isn't it? Ahmadinejad is not dead. Rick Mail said that, by the way. Anyone who might not know, anyone might not remember, I wasn't paying attention like 10 years ago, 15 years ago. One of Iran's presidents was called Ahmadinejad. That was his surname, Ahmadinejad. He was like president from, I can't read that writing, that's far too small. Even with a monocle, I doubt I could read that. That's tiny. He was president, I can't remember the exact dates, it does say it there. Was it like... between something like 2007 to 2013, something like that. I can't remember exactly, but in that frame. He was president of Iran. And even afterwards, he was sort of a senior statesman figure. I think formally he went back to being a lecturer at a university or something. But he was still involved in behind the scenes. He was still an important voice. Right. And so when the war started in February... like, right near the beginning, was it even like the second day or something, or in the first week, it was reported that he'd been killed. Certainly his house, or one of his houses, or the compound where he was supposed to have lived, got hit by, I can't remember if it was a US or an Israeli missile, but it got hit and blown up. And the Iranian state TV news said he was dead. And then I think even Western news confirmed that he was dead, probably just... re-reporting what the Iranians themselves had said. Anyway, it was reported that he was dead, or that he was just missing. He's just gone, assumed to have been blown to absolute smithereens. Like if you take a direct hit from a cruise missile or something, yeah, there's probably been nothing left, flecks of bone and flesh. And so it was sort of reported that was Ahmadinejad's sticky end was that. No, he was spotted. Remember yesterday we talked about the Ayatollah's funeral that went through Tehran yesterday? I think, am I right in thinking it's still more than a one-day affair? Anyway, all day yesterday at least, the remains of Ayatollah Khomeini was paraded through Tehran and like a state funeral type deal. Ahmadinejad was there. I think that's interesting. I think that's a back from the dead, the Telegraph call it. Yeah, kind of. I guess when the war started, he just went into, he had his own plans to just go deep underground, deep undercover. He was already deep undercover, but he was going deep undercover. And only now, once there's sort of this ceasefire, in inverted commas, it was like he's able to peep his head above the parapet again. So Ahmadinejad isn't dead. There you go. All right. Oh, 5 million missold their student loans. That's a thing, isn't it? It's a bit of a thing. It has been said now. What was it? Some sort of in the investigation. It has been said that the student loans company. For people, this is the type of story where if it doesn't affect you, you just don't care. Like, at all. If it does affect you, it's like really important, you know? It's one of those stories. I guess a lot of stories are like that, but. So, if you're affected by this. Yeah, the student loans company in Britain, if you want to go to university and you have to pay thousands, maybe even the low tens of thousands a year to go to university. If you can't just afford that, which most people can't, right? Unless you're from a quite wealthy family. But you can go to the student loans company and they will loan you it and you have to pay it back. But even if you go to sort of quite a middling university, you still have to borrow 30, 40 grand, 70 grand, a lot of money. A lot of money. And the interest repayments aren't low. In fact, they keep ticking them up. And when you sign the thing, you're actually signing a document that says, we, the student loans company, reserve the right to like keep increasing the interest repayments, the interest on the repayments and stuff. It's not a great deal. Various things have been done since, like Rachel Reeves said she would freeze some of them, like where inflation keeps going up. At least that will be frozen for the interest on the repayments, but still, okay. And the allegation is that the student loans company themselves sort of missold it to people saying, oh, it's no different than getting a mobile phone contract. Right, you get a mobile phone contract, don't you? Yeah, and you pay back a little bit of money every month for that, don't you? Yeah, it's just like that. It's not just like that. In a couple of ways, it's not just like that. At least of all the actual amount, the full amount. A mobile phone contract locks you in for 40, 50, 70 grand, whatever, but it's just not like that. So they've been shown to have misled students. Okay. Okay, all right, let's move on. The Express, it's a good paper. You can read your Express now. It's not a good paper, is it? I'm being ironic when I say that every morning. Okay. Prince in new row with Buckingham Palace. As stay there is denied at last minute, Harry turned away from Palace. Right, we know that, okay. And the tennis is still going on. Wimbledon's still going on, right. The Sun. England, a German, who's the manager of England, the England football team. England can win World Cup because we believe. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer unnecessarily, and of course I do hope, despite everything, England do win. We'll almost certainly have to play Argentina next. And like France in the final. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy, but okay. Spain only just beat Portugal 1-0, so it's not like Spain are all dominant. In years past, recent years, Spain have been sort of all dominant. I think Spain were the favourite going into this. Expected to beat everyone 4-0, 5-0, 6-0. No. A lot of the big hitters are out. Anyway, all right, I know you don't like football. I'll stop talking about football. Okay. Prince's UK visit in chaos. King snaps at Harry. Okay, we got it. The Times. The venerable Times. Men, should you wear shorts at work? Don't care. Harry misses deadline to accept a berth at Buckingham Palace. They're like on a ship. A hammock. They're going to sling up a hammock for him in a corner somewhere. No need to seek work for 100,000 with ADHD. Cases up 40% since Labour came to power, like 2 years ago. Sure, that's being overdiagnosed then. Surely, is it not? I've said this before and I've caught a little bit of flack for it, but I don't care. Say it again. Feel like things like ADHD and even autism and Asperger's are massively overdiagnosed. I think it's unfair on people that have really got it. If you've really got autism, or like bad Asperger's syndrome, bad, or you've got real bad ADHD, I think it's unfair on those people that anyone that goes, I feel a little bit anxious, I'm a little bit awkward around people, ADHD, there you go, you're on benefits, you don't need to work. Really? Blame it on my ADD, baby. All right. Up 40%. Suddenly we've realised quite literally millions, well, hundreds of thousands of more people, hundreds of thousands more, suddenly developed ADHD, have they? Like ADHD that's severe enough that you can be on benefits. You don't need to work. You're not even required to seek work. Okay. I'm a little bit awkward. I've got ADHD. Are you? No. Red card row kicks off after Trump comes to US stars aid. Right, we got it. The Financial Times, they go over Zelensky thing. Battle in the sky will decide course of Ukrainian war. Zelensky warns Putin. That was already decided. That was decided in like the failed summer campaign of 2023, wasn't it? Wasn't it? Can Ukraine take back the Donbass from the Russian army? I doubt it. I highly doubt it. Kiev leader hails air power advance. Drone strike deep into Siberia. Attack follows huge Russian raid. Yeah, look. Zelensky to press NATO for air defense systems after intense Russian strikes. Or you could just accept we've lost that war. How many more men, both Russian and Ukrainian, and civilians, how many more need to die? Simple question, is it? Is the battlefield reality that Ukraine can take and hold the Donbass back from the Russian army? It's unlikely, isn't it? So, all right then. How many more men need to be fed into that meat grinder? Don't worry about that. Don't worry about that. Just more endless money to Zelensky. Don't worry about how it gets spent. Don't worry about that. Oh, you want a full accounting of how every pound and euro and dollar is spent by Ukraine? No, can't have that. No. It might be being like embezzled though. Yeah. 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 Zelensky, look at this little rat. Again, I'm not a fan of Putin. Don't take that I'm a fan of Putin. What is this guy? What is he? Do you remember when he was just like some TV comedian dude? Doing like weird Globo Homo skits. Well, now he's like some sort of dictator of Ukraine. He's suspended all elections, apparently indefinitely at this point. He's not making any noises about bringing the elections back. This hand-picked shill. What is he? What is he? Ugh. Oh, just endless gibs, please, for a war that's already lost. In both Britain, he wouldn't get a penny. I wouldn't invite him to anything. He wouldn't come and visit number 10 and he wouldn't get a single penny. I'd give the same amount of money to Zelensky as I gave Putin. Zero. Has it got anything to do with us? All right, they're the front pages. All right, have we got a poll? Did we do a poll, Harry?
We did, yeah.
Yeah, okay, if you bring that up for me then. What did we do? This is new to me. I don't know what it's going to say. We asked you, what do you care less about? Your options were football and the royal family. It's important for me to know, and I'm not even being ironic, it actually is important for me to know what you guys don't like. Okay, so the royal family has it. That's a funny phrasing. What do you care less about? Yeah, okay. The royal family wins it by 59% to 41. So, it's, I mean, not you care nothing about both of those things, basically, don't you? Yeah, okay. Okay, it's a funny poll. All right, interesting. So, you see, what else have we got in the news? What else? Bear with me, my mouse is just coming round. Here we go. All right. What else have we got? Oh, yeah, they're saying that it may well be true. I'm not saying this isn't true, but it was in the news this morning. That they're saying that Russia has got loads of torture prisons. Even loads of Ukrainian civilians. Thousands of Ukrainian civilians are sort of held, detained by Russia, in Russia. And they're torture prisons, including like sexual torture and stuff. If true, I haven't been there with my own two eyeballs to verify any of it. So, who knows these days? You know, wouldn't be surprised if that's just completely accurate reporting, and also wouldn't be surprised if it's complete intelligence services nonsense. Okay, MI5, the British internal intelligence services, MI6 is foreign stuff, like James Bond, MI5 is domestic stuff. Domestic spooks. MI5 new agent was misogynist obsessed with violence, watchdog finds. This is mildly interesting. It's just a story of a guy, Agent X. It's obviously not his real name. Surname X. And he was christened Agent. That's his name. Agent X. No. Obviously, that's a code name. Yeah, the story was he was... seems to have been some sort of crazy wrong-un who was obsessed with violence. It attacked his girlfriend with a machete, or threatened to. At one point it says he attacked her with a machete, and then later it said that he just threatened to, either way. And at first, for a long time, the BBC did a report into it back in 2022, and the MI5 tried to block the investigation, and anyway, it's all gone to court, and now it's gone through the watchdog, or gone to court, and now the BBC can report on it. And it's just really a story that MI5 sort of, at least for a while, at least for a window of time, they didn't seem to care that this guy was some sort of crazy loose cannon dude. Again, what a surprise. Is it a surprise? Actual, like, field officers, actual like, agents for MI5 and MI6, they're wild men. What a surprise. Yeah, of course. Yeah, that would be, yeah. Like a special branch firearms officer or a special forces operator, yeah, they're probably going to be a little bit of a nutter, maybe unhinged on some level, yeah. There you go. All right. Not much of a story. He didn't like murdering or anything, but all right. Yeah, look, phone contract comparisons amount to mis-selling student loans, MPs say. Charlie Kirk, so should we talk a little bit about Charlie Kirk? Poor old Charlie Kirk. Just to put my cards on the table with Charlie Kirk. I was only very mildly a fan of Charlie Kirk while he was alive. I thought he was good, he was all right. You know, it's like someone like Michael Moles, in my opinion. He'd be like, oh yeah, that's a good take, that's not a bad take. Am I going to follow everything you do? No. Am I interested in all your takes all the time and follow you? No. Are you more based than not? Yeah, sure. Occasionally I'll see a short or a clip. I'm like, oh, that's cool, that's based. That's how I felt about Charlie Kirk while he was alive. Of course, his murder was absolutely terrible, wasn't it? Absolutely shockingly terrible. I mean, it was just... I don't need to tell you guys, I'm sure, but... Okay, what's happening here is that his alleged killer, what is it, Tyler Robinson, is not even going to court yet. There's hearings, the judges, the the justice system in Utah, which is where it happened, right? They have got the death penalty there, for the record. They're doing a whole bunch of hearings to decide if it's even going to go to trial. Usually that sort of thing would be a slam dunk. If they've got the guy and there's sort of plenty of evidence, overwhelming evidence, then it just goes to trial. They have to do hearings to decide if there's even enough evidence for it to go to trial. It doesn't bode well. Well, that's my sort of very, very surface level take. I read this whole article, but who knows? It might just be the judge in these hearings. It might just be like, oh yeah, there's tons of evidence here. Of course we're going to trial. It might just be that. It might not. The fact that all this is happening, and it's supposed to last for like a week or so. God, the footage of it. You probably remember it, don't you? I've seen a fair amount of, like, real-life killings, least of all in, like, war archive footage, right? Watch enough documentaries about World War II alone, you'll see actual people getting actually killed, right? The JFK murder, see a guy's head get blown apart. Right? As an adult, if you live in the world, eventually you'll see what is effectively real snuff footage, like JFK. The Charlie Kirk thing was horrible, wasn't it? Horrible, poor dude. He didn't, just, I'm stating the absolute obvious. Of course he didn't deserve it. Like, he was the dialogue guy, wasn't he? He was the dialogue guy. And they murdered him, whoever it was. They decided he needed to be silenced forever. Not like someone who's like much, much more hardline. No. Charlie Kirk, of all people. The guy that would try and reason with them. Spent his life trying to do that. He's the guy that needs to be taken out. R.I.P. Charlie. R.I.P. Charlie. Poor dude. His kids. Don't pay much attention, but from what I understand, his wife behaves in bad taste sometimes since the killing, but his poor kids. They were little kids, weren't they? Horrible, horrible, horrible. R.I.P. What a world. What a world we live in. Let's talk a little bit about Nige. Chris Mason, accusations around Farage leave him looking vulnerable to his rivals. I read the article, but it's just what it says on the tin, really, saying Nigel's usually cool, calm and collected. Whenever there's any whiff of scandal around him, he's able to brush it off and laugh it off and make a joke. And it works. He's like Teflon. Nothing sticks to Nige. But this seems to be rattling him a little bit. I mean, look, there you go. Look. In fact, there's a little clip. In fact, in the Mail, let's have a quick look at the Mail. Was it Dan Hodges, who is a leftist shill, but nonetheless sometimes actually comes out with decent takes for a leftist? Nigel's always been able to deflect awkward questions with a joke and a shrug, but now his force field is down. Yeah, as I said, he seems to be, I mentioned two or three times, over the last week or so, a bit more, when this stuff comes up, he gets really defensive, doesn't he? There's no doubt about that. That's not just an anti-Nige voice. Me, I mean. Just saying, ooh, he's getting all defensive. Ooh, you're rattled. Ooh. No, objectively so, he seems to be, doesn't he? And over the last week or more, he's been a bit more out of the limelight a bit. And there was rumours, weren't there, that people in his camp feared that he fears he might face a by-election, that these investigations into his personal finances, the thorn in his side, might actually be negative for him and he'll have a re-election, by-election in Clacton. Well, this is the latest thing that happened. I just accept all cookies there, Harry. I've done it. We'll tell you what Nigel says in a moment. Let's just watch this clip. Can we play that? Harry, can you sort that out for me? If you need to I could just tell you what it is while Harry does that. Nigel Farage was coming out of he was on a flight back from somewhere, obviously. And there's a, I think it's a Sky News, yeah, Sky News reporter says to him, the classic question, like, you know, Mr. Farage, that doesn't seem to be working. We'll have to sort that out. Don't worry about it, Harry. We'll have to sort that out for another time. We'll have to make sure someone signed into Twitter to, or X, sorry. They say the classic thing, as soon as he gets off the plane, Mr. Farage, were you right to have, you know, not declared all these things? Classic thing. It's what you get if you're in the public eye and you're important enough. That's what you get. Nigel got really angry. I immediately, like, went right up to him, like, in his grill, basically. You know, like, right up in his face. Going, I'm paraphrasing slightly. He says, you guys are basically despicable. Tell your bosses at Sky News that what you're doing is reprehensible. Again, I'm paraphrasing. He invoked the Levinson report, you know, that report about how the media like hound people. He goes, you're breaking all the rules, Levinson, the whole nine yards. You've been harassing my family. If you don't leave me alone, there'll be serious consequences. And he goes to walk away, and then the reporter just like shouts to him again. So were you wrong, Mr. Farage? You know, it's his job, isn't it? As a reporter. And Farage comes back and really gets right up in his grill. I mean, obviously Nigel's not going to start throwing punches. That would sort of, might well be the actual end of his career. Might be criminal prosecution. And it's the worst optics ever. And Nigel's too old for it anyway. He's out of shape and he's not going to start throwing punches. But nonetheless, gets right up in the guy's grill. Like, you know, face to face. Almost, you know, that thing you ever been squared up to where someone like puts their face right in your face, even puts their forehead on your forehead, like pushes back on you, like almost doing that, almost doing that, super aggressive. And Nigel Farage said the same thing. I've already said what he said. He was like, you better not threaten, you better not hound my family anymore, or there'll be consequences. It's a fairly legit question, Nigel. What's the problem, Nigel? Why are you so rattled by this? Again, it should be, shouldn't it? Nigel Farage just going, oh, there's nothing to see here. Or just going, oh, he used to do that all the time, didn't he? When there was a question he didn't like, he'd just go, oh, you know. He could play it like that, couldn't he? Or just completely ignore them. That's a classic thing, isn't it? Just completely ignore them like they're not there. You just didn't hear them shout that question at you. No, but he gets all aggro. He gets all aggy about it. And then Sky News, after that clip, there's just like a female voiceover saying, Sky News hasn't been hounding his family. We absolutely haven't approached his family in any way. But then Nigel tweets that and says, this is an outrageous lie from Sky News. They hounded my daughter at home just days after the Times published where my family live. Despicable behaviour from the media. There you go. I don't know what's true. I don't know if Sky News did hound his daughter at home or not. I don't pay that close attention. You know, I'm not on the ground. Again, I haven't seen any of these things with my own two eyeballs. But Nigel accusing Sky News of a liar, just an outright liar. Don't know about that. Anyway, that's just one more little data point in the ongoing thorn in Nigel's side. It does seem to be sort of objectively rattled by it, doesn't it? Surely you play it off, even if, because if there's nothing there at all, you know what it's like. If you're ever out there, you've ever been accused of anything you haven't done, whether small or large, right? It usually shines through, doesn't it? Someone accuses you of something, whether it's really small, like, did you eat the last biscuit? Or, you know, have you lied to me about something really important in our relationship or something? And you really genuinely haven't. Usually it's fairly obvious. You're like, oh God, yeah, no, I've got nothing to hide. I guarantee you it wasn't me. That sort of confidence, you know, that sort of real confidence. Whereas if you immediately get defensive over stuff, get all, well, who knows? We shall see. That was certainly an odd reaction. That was certainly undeniably an odd reaction to almost square up to the reporter in an airport. I think it was an airport. Let's put your face right in their face. I mean, Why are you so angry? I thought it was just a gift. You just... All right. Did we have any other stories before we go on to the... It was already 1:45. I think there was something in the Express. Oh, look, just wall-to-wall, disgusting foreign, like, rapists, paedophiles. Labour mulls emergency law change to deport Rochdale grooming gang ringleader Shabir Ahmed. And the story is that, whether they'll do it or not, the government, Labour government, are saying they'll look at all options about passing a piece of emergency legislation to deport just this guy. It'd be welcome, wouldn't it? But is that really... It's barely a plaster over a giant wound, is it? Isn't it? All options are on the table, are they? Oh, brilliant. Only now, though. Only over this guy, only now. Thanks. Thanks for that. Oh, here's the funny thing. Where Belgium beat the USA last night. 4-1. Belgians, when they... At least once, when they scored one of their goals... Their celebration dance was the Trump dance. Okay. Trump went on Truth Social after that and did a bit of a rant, a general purpose rant, not talking about football, just talking about how great America is in loads of ways. Seems like Trump was invested in the World Cup in some way. Like he actually follows it to some extent. He must have done, he must do. Sorry, some sort of, on some level, to some degree, like a matter of national prestige. All right, let's do this day in history. Let's talk about that. The 7th of July, 7-7. On this day in 1520, Hernan Cortes and the, never know how you pronounce these words, the Taxcalans, Mesoamerican, Central American people, defeat a numerically superior Aztec force at the Battle of Otumba in Mexico. I've talked before, haven't I, about Cortez. How was it possible that a small number was... Cortez only had, something like 60-odd men? A few more? No, was it more like 100-odd? Anyway, a few horses, a few war dogs, a few blunderbusses. How did they take out a whole civilization of millions of people? Well, what they actually did was the classic divide and conquer. Get loads of other peoples in the region that the Aztecs had been... conquered and suppressed, and use them to help defeat the Aztecs. Okay, on this day in 1807, French Emperor Napoleon Bonaparte and Russian Tsar Alexander I meet on a raft in the middle of the Niemen River and sign the first Treaty of Tilsit. Do you reckon in my long-form content, all about the life and career of the little Corsican, Napoleon... The first, L'Empereur. Do you think I talk all about the Treaty of Tilsit and his relationship with Tsar Alexander I? Oh, yeah, it's all there. Yeah. Behind the paywall. Do consider signing up on OTCs.com for as little as £5 a month for a membership. And get the like button on this stream. Do the like button. That matters. I've been told from up on higher. The like button really matters. Do hit the like button if you want to. All right, long-form content there, all about for me. You want to hear hours of me? In fact, those were in conversation with Carl Benjamin as well. You want to hear me and Carl talk about Napoleon in a lot of detail? What is it? 9 parts? Each one at least an hour, more like an hour and a half. So there's well over 10 hours. There's quite a lot of detail. It's almost audiobook level, isn't it? Okay, on this day in 1937, Japanese and Chinese troops clash at the Marco Polo Bridge near Beijing, beginning the Second Sino-Japanese War. Japan and China going to war before World War II really starts. On my channel, History Bro, I've got an 18-part series all about the life and career of Chairman Mao, which obviously doesn't just start in 1948, does it? So I'll go back to the late 19th century. The world, the China in which Mao was brought up in, and of course all of the 20s and 30s and World War II. I'll talk all about that there. Also, I've got a long form bit of content talking about the Road to Pearl Harbor on Epochs. The Road to Pearl Harbor. How was it that the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor in 1941? Again, going back to the 19th century, or briefly going back even centuries before that. And part of it is wrapped up in the Sino-Japanese War and resources and all sorts of things. So I'll talk about that more than once, if you're so inclined. Everything on History Bro isn't behind a paywall. That's all free. That's all free there. So check it out. Subscribe to that. All right. On this day, 1947, alleged and disputed Roswell, New Mexico UFO incident. Did a long-form conversation, and it's a freemium, so you can get it for free. That's not behind the paywall. Just a couple of weeks ago with Devon Tracy, the great Devon Tracy, a.k.a. Atheism is Unstoppable, Fear the Rue. Did a long-form conversation with him, all about UFOs or UAPs. That's on Locis.com for free. It's like, is it knocking 2 hours? Was it that long? Something like that. I think it was just shy of 2 hours, an hour and 40, something like that. Talking all about it. We don't talk, we talk about Roswell in passing a little bit. Anyway, it's an interesting subject for me. Very, very interesting. I want to know my thoughts and feelings and Devon Tracy's in some depth. That's there. Okay. On this day in 2005, coordinated terrorist bomb blasts strike London's public transport system during the morning rush hour, killing 52 and injuring 700. 77. I was there that morning. I was on a train at Mile End. I lived in Essex, London Borough of Havering, the east of East London, and worked in London. I was on a tube train, the District Line, at Mile End. When the train stopped, not uncommon, I didn't hear a boom, I didn't hear anything. The train just stopped, sat at, not in a tunnel, my train happened to be sat at the station. Sat there for a good few minutes, again, not uncommon. And then over the tannoy it comes. This train has to be completely evacuated. Please leave the station as quick as possible. That, I've never had that before. Please leave the station as quick as possible. It's like, And of course, around that time, you sort of knew what it was likely to be, or whether it was a real incident, or whether it was some sort of... Anyway, everyone knew immediately, oh, we better comply with that. That's not something I'm going to ignore. And anyway, one of the bombs, probably someone in the chat or the comments saying, oh, it's all a psyop, it's not real. It was real. People died that day, for real. People did die that day, for real. One of the bombs was at Aldgate. That's one stop from Mile End. In fact, it's so close that you can stand on the platform at Aldgate East and sort of look down the tunnel a bit and see Aldgate. Aldgate East, Aldgate and Mile End all right next to each other. I didn't hear any sort of boom. That's my real life lived experience. There you go, take it or leave it. All right, yeah, so a bunch of Muslims nominally to do with the war in Iraq, wasn't it, they said. Except there's countries that weren't involved in that that still get Islamic attacks, don't they? France famously decided to opt out of that coalition of the willing, didn't they? They still got terrorist attacks from Muslims, don't they, like the Bataclan. Now, the Islamists will find another reason. There'll be another reason. Right? So don't buy that. But I was there. On 21-7, most people, it's largely forgotten by history now, on 21-7, 2 weeks later, there's four more bombs, but they didn't go off, four more Islamists. But those happened to not go off. They didn't make their bombs properly enough and none of them went off. There's supposed to be four more. One of those was at Googe Street, which is one stop up from Liverpool Street. And I was getting on and off at Liverpool Street every day. In fact, sometimes, occasionally, I would get on at Goose Street on the Northern Line. So again, narrowly missed that, kind of, in a way. used to go drinking a fair bit in the years after this with friends in Borough Market, just by London Bridge. Oh, no, there was an Islamic terrorist attack there, where they killed a few people. Random people just having a drink in an evening at Borough Market, in and around Borough. We stopped doing that real quick. They're all pretty much wokists, so there was no talk about Islamism and the danger we face. It was just, we're just not drinking in Borough anymore. When the buses blew up at Russell Square, didn't it? Russell Square. That was right. Also right near where I worked. I worked in the Institute of Education, which was just off Russell Square. That bus that blew up splattered people across the building. Was it the BMI building? What was Tony Blair's response to that? To open our borders even further to Islamist countries. Insane. Insane. To pass more laws on paper to begin with to help fight terrorism domestically, but are now used to detain anyone they want, anyone the government wants. And not to close our borders. Not to really fight against Islamism. The Islamization of Britain has only accelerated since then. Crazy. Crazy. Millions more have come since then. Bizarre. Disgusting. 7-7, lest we forget. All right. Let's have a look at our Rumble Rants and Super Chats. We do that at this point. It's very nearly 9 a.m. I'm on the main podcast today, so I've got to get my segment ready for that. Global Church History, not there. I hope you're okay, Global Church History. In fact, only one Rumble Rant this morning. Fallen Firebird said, Charlie Kirk's murder was huge, not because of who he was, but because everyone further right witnessed the left's jubilation at the brutal death of a guy who was essentially a moderate debate bro. Yeah. The reaction by some, despicable, absolutely sickening, in and of itself, and for what it suggests, the malaise of our society in the West, not just the United States. A general malaise. A general immorality, inability to understand right from wrong. Got weirdo lefties celebrating it. Do you remember there was a guy in the moments after the shot rang out and all the normal people ducked down, shots fired, just seen Charlie Kirk just get murdered. And one guy stood tall and turned round towards the rooftop and was like, yeah, go, yeah. Do you remember that guy? Never find that guy. Never question that guy. I don't know. Crazy. Okay, another super chat just came in. Says, in the morning, boner. Who's your go-to Civ 4 leader? I like Elizabeth. She got them red coats. Thank you for your courage. Oh, thank you. Yeah, the English aren't too bad. You can be Churchill or Elizabeth, can't you? Their special unit is the riflemen that you can upgrade to red coats, which is pretty good. I'm very, very often the Romans, not just because I love the actual Roman history and Roman Empire, but as a civ, they're very, very good. They got the Praetorian. It's the upgrade for the warrior, the Praetorian. It's overpowered in the early game, the Praetorian. You can be Caesar or Augustus, can't you? Not Caesar Augustus. You can be Julius Caesar or Octavian Augustus. Both are the same, really. Usually Rome. 60, 70, 80% of the time I play as Rome. I don't mind playing as the Americans as well. Or you can be Lincoln or Washington. Because their good upgrades are in the late game. Like, they've got a better tank, the Sherman tank, isn't it? And they're very industrial. You get many more hammers, much more industry. You can build things quicker. I'm usually the Romans or the Americans. But I'm either the Romans, the Americans, or the English. The English are good for the mid game. That rifleman upgrade to red coat, that's quite good. You also get better bonuses on ships, don't you? But Unless I have to, I don't really get involved in the naval side of the game much, unless you have to. Which you depend on what the map's like. Anyway, there you go. Little bit of Civ 4 chat there. All right, let's have a look at the YouTube ones. Oh, only about 10 or so today. Okay. Amazing Disgrace 911. Amazing Disgrace 911 says, I think it was a performative gesture by Trump. Looking like he's standing up for his country's team. He does things for optics all the time. That's a fair point, yeah. I mean, a kind of a fair point. I think the FIFA didn't have to pay any heed to what Trump said. It's not like he put any real pressure on them. He just requested it. It probably was performative from Trump, from, I almost said Trump, from Donald Trump's side of the equation. I guess FIFA, well, for whatever reason, they decided, oh, we better do what he said. It's all academic now, isn't it? They got knocked out. Okay. Tatum2733 says, so damn stupid, this is what my president is doing. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Kylie Culliard, 373, says, FIFA used slowdown replay to look at that red card foul, which is against protocol. No, it's not. I don't think so. They've got VAR now, haven't they? And they can... If you slow down replay and looked at the red card foul, that's not against protocol, not anymore. I don't think so. Virtual assistant, the VAR, they can do that now, I think. Okay. Okay, Ranger 1513 says, Bo, been thinking about your... Wait a minute, let me just read this before I read it out. Okay. Okay. She says, Bo, been thinking about your gonads recently. You need to start having chavvies. Not a bandit, are you? No, I'm in a long-term relationship with a woman. I hope not, Bo. Start having sprogs. FFS. Yeah, I mean... Might be a bit late. Might be a bit late. Me in my mid-40s. You ever had that kid at school when their parents are like in their 70s? Or even in their 60s? I'd be an old dad at this point. Right? I had a kid right now, by the time he's in year 10 or 11, I'm like 60. Might be a bit late. Okay. Tory K Music says... I'm not gonna read that one out, I'm afraid, just because it's supposed to be clean. Even that was a little bit on the borderline. The Bow Show's supposed to be very, very clean. You just referenced something that was funny on TSOP, State of Politics. It's just a little bit blue. Thanks for the super chat anyway, but just say to everyone that gives it a rumble rant or super chat, if it's too spicy or blue, I won't read it out on this. So on State of Politics, it's fine. Even probably the main podcast, but my orders, the directives are for the Bow Show, because there may well be kiddies in the room, to keep it as clean as possible, really. It is funny what you've put there, though. Okay, for your reference. Okay, last half a dozen or so. Jankus the Great, 1933, says, it's rare to get these live streams. Good morning. Oh, well, good morning. Good morning to you, sir. Good morning to you. Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me, that's their name, at Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me, says, who said Frisia for the Frisians last week? Extremist. Wasn't it you? I think it was you, wasn't it? Extremism. Okay. Oh, and the last two are from the same person. At Belgians Are Evil, Trust Me, says, Mum's family from Groningen. I know Frisian threat. Okay. And the last one. We still need names of Novak cops plus Birmingham. Yeah, they haven't released that. I'm not sure they will be at some point. I'm not sure they will be at some point. I hope they are. They probably will be at some point, the name of the Novak cops. Certainly if it goes to any sort of trial. At the moment, they're in the process of the internal police investigations, deciding if there's any misconduct and or if there will be any criminal proceedings after that. I would have thought at some point their names will come out, but still just not yet. All right. All right. Well, that's the show. It's now 4 minutes past nine in the AM British Summer Time on Tuesday, the 7th of July in the year of our Lord 2026. Thank you for joining me. You're the Gross Band, the Chosen Few, my band of brothers and sisters. Try and make the best of the day ahead. Carpe diem. Seize the day. The most valuable thing you will ever have is your time. Try and make it count. You've got a finite number of days on this earth. All right, I won't get too preachy about it. Until tomorrow morning, then. Take care.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.